All righty. Well, good morning, Ledge Rock Community Church family. Happy Sunday to all of you. I stand here before you this morning talking to an empty sanctuary, talking to our sound guy and our live stream guy, and I'm going to do my best to pretend that all of you that are joining with us right now live online via this amazing technology that we have, that you're all right here with me. And so what I need is, as you sit there at home, maybe in your pajamas, maybe enjoying a delicious cup of coffee, that you still interact with me. I was sharing with folks as we made this very difficult decision to go ahead and not meet in person this Sunday and next Sunday, with the great hope of having an amazing celebration together on Easter Sunday. As we shared that and talked about that, that preaching to an empty sanctuary or an empty office like I did last spring is difficult because I feed off of your energy and your response. And so don't be afraid to say amen if there happens to be something you agree with. Don't be afraid to comment back. Be sure to laugh at my jokes. I know that you will, because they're very funny always. I can't believe a year after we stopped meeting in person the first time, we're now in this position of having to not meet in person again. All of your leadership and everyone I talked with felt very confident this was the right thing to do for sure. And just really be in prayer for our church family. We do have several people that have tested positive. Although I'll say this, their symptoms seem to be extremely minor, as well as their family members are not testing positive and not being symptomatic or whatever. So whatever's going on, it seems to be not super super bad, but the community definitely is experiencing an uptick in the COVID cases. So be sure to be in prayer for not only our church family, but also our community, that that this will be kind of the last the last straw, and that we can get back to life more as normal, or whatever the new normal will be. So be sure to be in prayer and understand that this was a tough decision, but boy, our hope is that we can have an awesome in-person celebration on Easter. Couple quick announcements, or something for you to know, is the floor down in the basement has come a long way this last week. Dennis got the old floor removed and got it prepped and got the new tiles delivered. And now when you first walk down the stairs, that primary main area is finished. It's all tiled and it is stunning. It's really, really nice. So he has to do the hallways, the bathrooms, and the kitchen yet. But it's just really, really nice. So the floor is great. The other thing, I know that there are going to be probably a record number of people watching right now today, live streaming. And so I want to encourage you to say hello to the other Ledge Rock Church family members that are also live streaming right now with us. So say hello, encourage each other, just do all that stuff as you comment. Maybe you've never commented before. Make today the day that you comment and just say hello. Go down there, there should be a comment bar. Click on that, type out your comment, and then hit send or go or whatever. Hopefully it'll work, but I just really think it's encouraging for each other, especially for me, to look back and know who was on and who commented and who said, boy, Pastor Kurt, that was the best sermon I've ever heard ever. So go ahead and say that on there, all those good things. The other thing is, be sure not to forget our beloved missionaries, Jake and April McCormick, up at Grand Portage at Mount Rose Community Church. They are still our mission of the month. And they, being up on the Canadian border, have experienced a lot of difficulties with this border closure and the COVID pandemic. So they now more than ever need our help. They need our prayer support, and they also need our financial support. So if you feel led to help out Jake and April up there, make out a separate check, mark it Mission of the Month, or Jake and April, or Grand Portage, and we'll make sure that it gets to them. But I just feel like we really need to be not only praying for them, but doing whatever we can to support the work up there to the Native American tribe at Grand Portage. And so be in prayer for them. Be considering how you can help support them. I think that's it for announcements. So we'll go ahead and get into today's message. It's funny, after my detailed description of my love of coffee, but not only my love of coffee, but the techniques I use, the equipment I use to make a good cup of coffee, a couple of you have sought me out and said, boy, make a recommendation for a grinder and coffee maker and whatever. And so I was, and some of you have ordered some equipment and you're getting ready to step up your coffee game. It's a dangerous slope to head down, because once you do, that gas station coffee will no longer be quite good enough, but it is definitely a fun journey. All that to say, I love coffee. I love everything about coffee. I like the places that you get to enjoy it. I like the time that you spend either quietly contemplating the Lord, or the time with friends or family as you enjoy coffee together. Just coffee brings people together, and it's warm and inviting, and there's just something special about coffee. But we all know that too much coffee is a bad thing. Some is good, too much is bad. Now, obviously, God created coffee for mankind to enjoy, to make our lives richer and better. I think maybe the eighth day, maybe the ninth day, God then created ice cream. Can I get an amen on that one? Ice cream is also one of my favorite things to enjoy. Love ice cream, and there's a saying, the only thing better than a good, yummy scoop of ice cream is two yummy scoops of ice cream. Ice cream is fantastic, but like coffee, too much is not good. Some is okay, too much, not so much. God created smallmouth bass. Not sure what day for sure, but boy, it was one of the crowning jewels of his creation, and they are meant to be caught, especially on topwater lures. I love to fish. I love to drink coffee while I fish. Love to fish. Fishing is good, but honestly, too much is not necessarily a good thing. You can get a little bit overboard on anything in life. We have activities and hobbies and foods and family and just things to enjoy. But I think that you and I can really benefit if we find a balance in there. If we find some way to balance enough and too much and whatever. The great prophet John Denver wrote the beloved church hymn that we've sung for years and years. He says, "I'd play my fiddle all day if I could, but the Lord and my wife wouldn't think it very good. So I fiddle when I can and work when I should. Thank God I'm a country boy." Balance is best. Balance is important. Rest is a good thing for us to have as a part of our life. We need rest. Rest is good, but too much is not good. If you and I just simply sit around all the time, our bodies get stoved up and we can't hardly move anymore. If we simply rest and sit all the time, our muscles atrophy. They lose their strength and their range of motion, and next thing we can hardly move, and it's painful to do so we want to sit more. And then as we sit more, we lose more strength and it's more difficult to move, so we sit more, and so on and so on. And it's not a good thing. Exercise, however, produces energy. It produces mobility and flexibility. As we move, we're able to do so much more. I can remember a friend that had a huge day that she had so much to do and company coming and meals to create, and she had to go out and run several miles that morning. And she told her mother, she says, "Mom, if I don't go run, I won't have enough energy to finish out the rest of what I have to do today." And that's true. When we find a balance in our life between rest and exercise and recovery and getting exercise and increasing our energy, it helps every area of our life. Well, I've shared over the last few weeks my feeling that today, the life that we are living, we are so bombarded with so much technology, news, especially bad news and negative news. We're bombarded with the fast pace of life and quick responses and instant access to everything, microwave, super fast, everything. I think it's affecting our quality of lives. I think it's affecting our relationships with our spouses and our children and our neighbors. In fact, some may not have time for relationships with kids and neighbors and whoever because you're so tied up in whatever, games and technology. So insert the sermon series called Decaf. It's my encouragement to look at God's Word and for all of us to take a step back and really evaluate our lives and where we're at. Are we too dependent upon technology? Are we too available to the rest of the world that we're not available to God or not available to our family? So we've taken several weeks now and looked at what it means to Sabbath, to take a day off or part of a day. We discovered we're not commanded to Sabbath anymore, but we are created to rest. Then we looked at what it means to be still and to know that we have a God, and to explore who He is and who we are, and then who we are in Him, what that really looks like. And it demands time, quiet time. Then we looked last week at what it means to wait on the Lord. And that simply means to trust in Him, a faithful, peaceful, patient trust in God, that He is God and that He will do in us and through us what it is that He wants. It's a spiritual discipline that all of us need to find and discover in our lives. And today is about balance. It's balancing what we do for the Lord, what we do on our own, how much we rest, and how much we engage both with our family and friends in this lost world that we're living in. Balance is best. So today we're in the book of Matthew, chapter 11, at the very last three verses, 28, 29, and 30. An extremely familiar passage, one of my favorite passages if you're keeping track. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Now, to kind of set the stage real quickly, Jesus is speaking to followers of His people. It's fairly new in His ministry. He has begun His public ministry. He's begun healing people, giving sight to blind. I mean, Jesus is doing some amazing stuff, and crowds of people are following Him. They are pursuing Him along with religious leaders of the day. Now, the people, well, I'll explain more about what was going on religiously here in a few minutes, but know that people are now discovering this Jesus is a pretty cool guy, and He's got some amazing things that He's saying. In fact, He's kind of declaring a very radical, different message than what these Hebrew people, these Israelites, had heard all of their lives. And so insert Jesus, and he's changing everything. He's really turning all the religion that they'd experienced upside down and saying it's all about a relationship with him. So join me if you have a copy of God's Word. We might have a slide there for you on the live stream as Jesus speaks to those folks that were following him as well as us today. Again, Matthew 11, 28, he says, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take up my yoke and learn from me, because I am lowly and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Pray with me. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that we can gather together through the through this modern technology and still study your word together, be moved by your spirit together, worship you together here in Ely and all across this country because of this live stream. And so, Lord, I pray that people's computers would work well, their internet would function well, that they would be able to hear your word proclaimed. And Lord, I ask that you would take your message and speak it through me, Lord, clearly and boldly. Open up our hearts and our minds to understand how we can serve you and understand you better, and then do it, what it is you've created us to do, in a way that glorifies you. So Lord, move among us this day. In Jesus' name we pray. And all the folks online said, amen. So here in this passage of Scripture, our Lord Jesus tells us how it is that we can live a balanced and blessed and a burden-free life if we do what he says, if we listen to what he says and apply it to our lives. So the first thing that we want to look at is, what is it that you and I are supposed to do? Well, he says at the beginning of 28, he says, "Come to me." In the beginning of 29, he says, "Take up my yoke." We're to come to Jesus and take up his yoke. But before we explore what that looks like, let's look at the next thing, which is, who is he talking to? Who should come to Jesus and who should take up his yoke? And so that is the second part of the first verse. Verse 28, he says, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened." Jesus is saying everyone should come to him if you are weary and burdened. And I think weary and burdened, we need to separate those two words and look at them separately, because I think they represent different types of weight that the people then and possibly you and I are carrying. So let's look at burdened first. So to better set the context of what was happening here when Jesus was speaking to these people, it had been 400 years since God had spoken to his people through a prophet, Malachi to John the Baptist, and then now Jesus, the Messiah, actually being here on the earth. 400 years. And what happened was, during that time frame, the religious leaders had taken God's commands, the Ten Commandments, all of the Levitical rules and the regulations. The people, the leaders, had taken all the stuff God had said, and they thought, well, if God wants us to do or not do all these different things, then we should add some more in, because if that makes God happy, then if we do more, he'll be even happier with us. And so the Pharisees had created lists and lists of do's and don'ts. Can't do this, have to do this. All this sort of religion that they were told to do. And the people, honestly, were overloaded. They were burdened. They were, it's too much. Rules and regulations, rituals and religion. And God ultimately established all of that law way, way back to, one, show that he was in charge and that his people, if they were going to follow him, it was his way or the highway. He also did it to set his people apart from all the other pagan nations that didn't do these things, that didn't honor God and share who God was. God did it to set his people apart, but ultimately to prove that they couldn't do it on their own, They had to keep making animal sacrifices after animal sacrifices as a temporary payment for their sin. Great big blinking light arrow pointing to Jesus as the perfect Lamb of God and the once and for all sacrifice for us. So these people were under such rules and regulations and rituals and religion, and it was more than they could do. They were overwhelmed with religion, trying to make God happy by their works. And so Jesus says, "Come to me, all of you that are weary and burdened." And this really resonated with the people because they were. See, Jesus changed all of that. Man, there was an old covenant that God had established with his people through Abraham and then Moses, and it was about doing all these things and again making animal sacrifices to pay for their sin and their inability to keep the law. And then here comes God himself as God the Son, Jesus the Christ, born of a virgin. And he comes to the earth and he's living an absolute perfect life. Jesus was living the life that you and I were created to live. He was living it for us, that then through him we can receive his perfection. Jesus said in his Sermon on the Mount that not a letter of the law, not a stroke of the pen does not need to be fulfilled and accomplished. And Jesus did it. Not only did he go to the cross and die, but he fulfilled all the law that now anyone that puts their faith and trust in him can then experience life as though we also completed the law perfectly. So Jesus changed everything. And here he's saying, if you are burdened with trying to make God happy, if you feel overwhelmed and overloaded, if you feel like a failure in life, and you feel the weight of that, come to me. Come to me and we'll talk about what happens when you come to him. If you're burdened, what about if you're weary? Well, hopefully, if you're watching this, you're not burdened from religion. Today's your first day joining us here at Ledge Rock, then welcome, glad to be seen by you. If you stay tuned each week, you'll hear over and over that we can't do any amount of works to make God happy. The only way to make God, make our relationship right again with God, the relationship that was broken by our sin, the only way to make that right with him is simply by our faith, receiving his forgiveness into our life. It's his grace. And then we are made like Jesus, made right again in God's eyes. And so we can't earn our salvation. Hopefully you understand that if you've been watching and coming for a while. So hopefully you're not burdened by religion any longer. You may be discovering what it means to walk with the Lord on a day in and day out basis and join the club. That's what it's all about. That's what it means to be a disciple, is continually growing in our faith until the day we get to be with him. So maybe you're not weary from religious activities, but maybe you are weary from life. Maybe your job is stressful. Maybe you're involved in a lot of things and activities that pull you down a little bit, that add some stress and anxiety to your life. Today, with all of the modern conveniences that we have, with all of the instant access, touch, button, quick, whatever, I believe that we, especially as Americans, we have never, ever been more tired as a culture, as a nation. We have never been more weary. And the honest truth is, if you and I, as we do life on our own and in our own strength, we will be exhausted. It is exhausting. And I'm guilty. I share all the time. This message, this sermon series is first and foremost for me. But if you are like me and sometimes you feel like you're doing God a favor by not including him in this activity, like we're going to give God a little bit of a break, that's not a healthy mindset for us. So if we do life on our own, it's going to be exhausting. We need to sit back and trust in him. Now, I haven't been there yet, but I've seen lots of films, videos and things of the salmon in the streams, like up in Alaska, when they're running up the streams to spawn, and they're swimming upstream against the current, and they come to rocks and waterfalls, and here's the current pouring, and they're trying to go up the stream, and they're getting bombarded and blocked by rocks and waterfalls, and they have to try to jump over those rocks and up the waterfalls and keep swimming upstream, and further, and more obstacles and more current, and it's just everything is against them trying to make it upstream. It's exhausting. It's interesting to see how they go about doing that, and the fact that some of them make it and they are able to spawn. And so just FYI, October is Pastor Appreciation Month. And so if you're wanting to bless your pastor, you could send me up there to Alaska to do some research and catch some of those salmon and bring them back, of course, and we'll have a salmon cookout here for all of you. But you could certainly send me up there, and I'll check it out and catch some of those fish, and we can all be blessed. And maybe Jesus could take our five or six and make it feed the masses. Wouldn't that be awesome? The truth is that many born-again believers are guilty. You and I are guilty of leaving the Lord out of our daily lives. When we do, we get weary. It wears us down. We're stressed more than we should be. We're anxious, have more anxiety than we should be. In fact, I have been accused of being a little bit cranky at times when I am just doing life on my own, trying again. It's like I feel like I'm helping God out by leaving him out of a certain area, and shame on me. I know when we're guilty of doing life on our own, we tend to have a negative attitude towards so many things, and honestly, it just affects every area of our life. And Jesus says, come to me, take up my yoke if you are weary and burdened. So what is it that we're supposed to do if we are weary and or burdened? What do we do? Well, we go back to the first point. Come to me and take up my yoke. Come to me and take up my yoke. So, boy, the word come, this is a whole sermon in and of itself, what it means for a person to come to Jesus. And if you have not yet experienced salvation or a personal relationship with Jesus, listen closely to this part, because in order to come to Jesus, you have to first understand who it is that you are. And the scripture tells us that apart from Christ, in our sin, we are enemies of God. Our relationship is broken and fractured, and we are far from God. And it says that there's a penalty for our sin, and it's death. It's eternal separation from God. And we need to know and understand that we're guilty. Guilty of sin. One lie ever in your life, and you're as guilty as a serial killer. One thing that you've stolen, using the Lord's name in vain, looking upon a man or a woman with lust one time in your life, and Jesus said, you've committed adultery in your heart. To come to Jesus, you have to understand and recognize who you are, and that you are a sinner, lost and separated from God and deserving his punishment and eternal separation. You need to recognize the life that you're living. Is it a life pursuing after the truth, pursuing after Jesus, or are you living life on your own, ignoring him and doing what it is that you want? To come to Jesus, you have to recognize that you need help. that you can't do it on your own, that maybe you're at rock bottom. Maybe you're not there yet, and I hope you come to Jesus sooner than rock bottom, but whatever it takes to understand who you are and where you're at in life and that you can't do it on your own, then you get to the point where you can realize who Jesus is, that He is the only hope that you have, that He is the Messiah, that Jesus is the Son of God, the Lamb of God, the perfect sacrifice, that Jesus is waiting with open arms to forgive you of your sin and your rebellion and your hard heart. Recognizing who you are, what you've done, and who Jesus is the first thing in coming to Jesus. And let me tell you, until you recognize those things, I don't believe you can truly be saved. You can't truly experience Jesus in the fulfillment that comes through a personal relationship with Him. I believe that the Holy Spirit brings on some of these things that I mentioned, the conviction of your sin and the conviction of where you're at and that you're separated from the Lord. And so if you feel that conviction, listen to the Spirit, respond to Him. That's how God the Spirit speaks to us. And then simply come to Jesus. You can offer Him nothing other than yourself, other than who you are, broken and dysfunctional, wherever you're at. Just simply call out to the Lord and come to Him. And the Scripture says that if we do, if we confess that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, we will be saved, and He will make us new creatures and new creations, and we will experience life like we've never experienced before. What's it look like to come to Jesus? We also have to repent, turn away from our sins, turn away from our pride, ourself, turn away from us and turn over control to Jesus. I like to use the word give up and give in. Give up and give in to Jesus. Surrender to Him. Make Him Lord of your life. And that's what it means to come to Jesus. Come to Him and simply ask Him to forgive you. And man, if you're here listening today and you've never ever done that, make today the day that right now, as I'm preaching, just pray in your heart, God, forgive me for my sins and who I am, and be my Lord and Savior. Do that today. That's what it means to come to Jesus. And then He says, take up my yoke. Now, this one is crazy. This one is interesting. A yoke. Canoes have yokes, by the way. It's the cross piece just about in the center of the canoe that usually has a notch cut out for your neck. And you pick up the canoe and put it on your shoulders and you carry that canoe. The yoke is what the weight of the canoe is on. It's on your shoulders. But in Jesus' day, He was talking about yoking two beasts of burden, like oxen, together to do work, like plowing a field. And so the yoke that Jesus was talking about was a two-part yoke that went over the necks of the animals and on their shoulders. And then together, the two animals could accomplish more than one animal on his own. They shared the work. The weaker animal benefited from the stronger animal that it was yoked to. And so again, the two could do much more than the one. And this is what's crazy, is Jesus says, come to me. And then He says, take up my yoke. Now, think about this with me for a minute. Here's the God of the universe, the God that created everything. He just spoke it into existence. And He is saying, take up my yoke. Come and join with me in this yoke. Now, why did the God that created heaven and earth not simply just do for us instead of asking us to do it with Him and through His strength? Why didn't He just do it for us? If there's a task He wants us to do or a stressful area of our life, why didn't He just simply say the word and make it go away? Why does He want us to join in the yoke with Him and still do it? Still go through the activity. That's what's interesting. Well, the simple truth is, Ephesians 2:10 tells us that you and I, children of God, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which He prepared ahead of time for us to do. James tells us over and over that faith without works is dead. There is no such thing as saving faith without works. We know we're not saved by our works, but our salvation produces works. Think about that for a minute, because I think that especially, again, especially in America, we are extremely guilty of sitting in the pews and saying, "Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Jesus, you are awesome," and never lifting a finger in His service. He says, "Come to me and take up my yoke," because you and I are created to do work for Him, service for Him. You and I, we cannot simply get saved, say yes to Jesus, cry out to Him in our heart and ask Him for forgiveness, and then simply rest in Him the rest of our saved lives. We cannot simply sit and do nothing. You and I are created to bear fruit, evidence of our salvation, bear fruit and do it for Him. See, Jesus is glorified when you and I turn from our wicked ways and obediently serve Him, when we trust Him to accomplish through us in His strength what He wants us to do. That's what it means to be yoked with Jesus. He's not going to simply do it for us and wave this magic wand and no longer do we have any responsibilities. He wants us to join with Him and allow Him to strengthen us. Us being weaker, benefit from His strength, and in Him we can do anything. I often say, remember, God doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. And if God is calling you to even the craziest thing, I strongly encourage you to say yes. Be obedient. Walk by faith and not by sight, because in that He is much glorified. He removes the huge numbers of our armies so that we can defeat the giant enemy with few people, so that He gets the credit, not us. God wants us to do the impossible on our own through Him, because in Him everything is possible. He wants us to do in Him and through Him anything that He asks us to do. He wants to do great and mighty things. He says, "Come to me and take up my yoke, all you that are weary and burdened." Why Jesus? Why Jesus so specifically? After He says, "Take up my yoke," He says, "Learn from me, because I am lowly and humble in heart." And this is just truly amazing, because God that created heaven and earth came down to earth, and then He says, "Follow me." See, Jesus is our example to follow. God the Son showed us how it is that we are to live. He's lowly and humble in heart. Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve, and ultimately to give His life as a ransom for many. And the bottom line is that life and work and our service to Him, the things we do, serving the Lord through the local church, in our community, and all over the world, our obedience to Him, all of that is easier with Him pulling the load for us, yoked up with Him. It's easy and it's light, because He is humble and lowly. He does it in a spirit of meekness and humility, but through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, you and I will experience joy and peace and patience and gentleness, things that we never, ever can do on our own, because we're following his example, living with the absence of pride, humility. He says, follow after me, take up my yoke and learn from me. Take my example because I am lowly and humble in heart. You and I can do few things better than serving a lost and broken world with humility, with love and grace, putting their needs ahead of ours, because that's what Jesus did. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. So what happens if we come to Jesus? What happens if we take up his yoke? What happens if those of us that are weary and burdened cry out to Jesus and ask him to help us, to take over our lives? What happens if we follow his example of humility and lowliness? He says, I will give you rest. I will even give you rest for your souls. In Jesus is true rest. More than just a good nap in the afternoon, but true rest, eternal rest, lifelong rest. Now, hear me with this one. Life in Jesus, yoked with him, coming to him, following him, does not mean an absence of being tired. It means a peaceful trust that you are his and that he is in control. When you realize that, you'll find rest in your life, even rest for your eternal soul. I think sometimes we forget that serving Jesus, loving Jesus, being his hands and feet does not mean that we won't be fatigued. It doesn't mean that we won't get tired, but it means that he will give us rest, deep in our souls especially, even when our bodies are exhausted. I think I mentioned Haiti before last week maybe, and I don't want to make it sound like that was it, but I just thought of a trip to Haiti up in the mountains, and we did vacation Bible school to try to reach families with kids, introduce the children to Jesus, introduce their parents to Jesus, build relationships with people, help connect them with the local church. And then we went around and did like hut-to-hut evangelism. And I'm telling you, Haiti is hot. Man, it was in the summertime and it was around 100 degrees all the time. High humidity, mosquitoes. It's hot and hard work up in the mountains. It's just little paths through the mountains and dusty and dirty, sleeping on a cot, not good sleep, mosquitoes buzzing all night, so you wear like a head net. And it's one of the most amazing experiences that I've ever had. And I can remember serving the Lord and playing games with these little Haitian kids that have the biggest smile and they have no food to eat at home and just living in poverty, malnourished, not even properly hydrated, and they just love each other and love you and want to play games and smile and want hugs. It's amazing. Going around and doing evangelism, sharing Jesus with people, even voodoo practicing witch doctors, just coming back to the camp at the end of a long day and being utterly exhausted, nothing left to give physically, but being restful and peaceful in my soul like I've never experienced. Hard work for Jesus doesn't mean we're not going to be tired, but it means that in him we'll experience a peace and a rest for our souls that goes way beyond our physical needs and lines up with our spiritual and our eternal needs. There's not a lot that we can do, not too much work. Too much work is not good. not enough work is not good. We have to find that balance in our lives. Balance is best. Too much rest is not good. Too much work, even too much service, it's not good. Balance is best for you and I to truly be rested in our souls, to not live a life of stress and not live a life of anxiety. We need to come to Jesus, yoke up with Him, trust Jesus with all our heart, truly sit back and relax and say, I don't understand this situation, but I trust in You, and I will obey whatever it is that You tell me to do with all my heart. Love God more each day. Love others through His strength. As you love God, you'll be able to love others more and more. And as you do that, He will give you rest. Rest beyond your wildest dreams. Not the absence of being tired, but a peaceful rest. The bottom line through all of this is that we're created to rest, and we're created to sleep. You and I need to find the healthy balance of both. Pray with me. Father, we thank You for Your word and this message, and I pray that it would resonate to each of us, that we would understand the balance of what it means to follow You and serve You and rest and be obedient and love You and love others, and then watch what You can do through us. So, Lord, I pray that each one listening today and in the future, that You'll work in this area of our lives, and that through it, we will be able to glorify You more and more, because that's what this is truly all about. So, Lord, we love You and we thank You. Thank You for this technology, that we can do this together today. Please be with our church family and our community during this very difficult time. We pray for safety for all. We pray for healing for those of our loved ones that are dealing with surgeries and cancer treatments and sicknesses and whatever. Lord, I pray for Your healing hand upon each one. And Lord, please bring us back together as the Ledge Rock Church family as soon as it's safe to do so. Lord, through it all again, may You so be glorified, because You're deserving. In Jesus' name we pray. And the whole church family said, Amen.